Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined at the decks with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this afternoon, Letitia?
We're good. We've had a busy day.
We've had a big, big morning, haven't we?
Yeah, I made some friends.
You did? Tell me all about it.
Well, we went to your coworker's house.
We did. We had to drop some
friend
things
off. Friend of the
off, podcast. Friend of the podcast, Jackie. We dropped off some things that I borrowed.
Hello, Jackie. And I made friends with Hello Animals.
So yeah, a bunch of birds, a couple of puppies. Yeah. It was really cute. We got a photo of you holding one of the brand new birds.
Mm-hmm.
It was only like 8 weeks old, 7 weeks old. And it was fluffing up onto your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. My sister hates me.
Because she's the animal one of the family. And you got to hold a big old parrot.
Yeah, we got cuddles.
And then you got to play with Weenie, the sausage dog.
Yeah.
Which is very cute.
Weenie's very cute.
No, so that was a lot of fun. And then after that, we planned to go to IKEA for the day.
Yeah, and what did you get, Shannon? What did you get from IKEA?
I bought a stuffed animal shark.
What did you go to IKEA for?
A desk.
And did you check if they had it in stock before we went to IKEA?
Not at all. So the desk I wanted to see the dimensions in person.
Which
so,
is that you know, part's like, fair. Yes, yep. Of course.
I wanted to see, visualize what it would look like. And I found it. I was like, this is a great desk. I want this desk. I proceeded to scan the QR code. Out of stock. Can I get it delivered? No. So now I've got to wait until it's back in stock somewhere and until I can set up my proper office room. Until then, I'm going to be using Ben's desk. Luckily enough, he doesn't use it. So I'm fine for the next week or so. But I really want to get my new office set up with, new things happening at work. So that's why we went to IKEA.
Yes.
But you got something.
I did. Well, not for me.
No, you got something for your mother.
Yes.
you're out shopping. Can you please get this?
Oh, you're going to IKEA?
Oh, I can.
I can.
I guess.
I had to carry like those mats that go under the computer chair. And yeah, like, I swear to God, these are nearly bigger than me.
It was so funny watching you carry this through the car
park. When my hands were getting sweaty and you're
like,
plastic. Hands
are getting all sweaty like in Harry Potter. Ron, yeah. With Ron saying,
hold on, I can't.
Your hands are all sweaty. That was you trying to get back to the car.
Me. I was like, this is a nightmare.
Oh,
and you guys go, do you need help? And then proceeded to.
We kept walking.
Not offer any help.
No, well, I was holding the shark. You know, my hands were tied. You
Maddie,
know.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Maddie. Yeah, it's been a wild week for me. I'll go into a little bit of what I've been doing. So I went to, since the last podcast, the day after that, I flew to Sydney for a work event, which was fantastic. Like, it was good to catch up with everyone in the same position as me, all as a country. And we, you know, plan and align some stuff for work. But also, in our spare time, we got to go go-karting on one of the night events, which is really cool. But it was like, you know, Mario Kart, where it's like on the handle, it had a boost button.
Oh,
and they
explained
that at the start. It's like, okay, so anytime you hold this on for at least 3 seconds, it'll give you 10% more speed than you currently have.
So it's like NOS.
NOS. Yeah, exactly. And this track doesn't have a lot of straights. It was a lot of like turn, but then like an S-bend and then turn back. And because it was an inside track. And we had three sessions of 10 minutes as a group. And the first session I was like, yeah, cool. I'm going around. I'm getting used to how it operates, how much I need to turn without it like kind of skidding out. And all that, and just getting used to the accelerator and slight breakage. And I was like, what's happening? Like, everyone's kind of like zooming past me. But I feel like I'm doing quite well. Like, I'm hitting the racing line quite well, but I'm not catching up to anyone. And then in the second race, before we started, I was like, oh, I don't think I had pressed the boost button ever. So I didn't press it once. And so the next time I got used to when to use and stuff. And then by the third race, I was like keeping up there and I was doing quite well. We had a few other people in our race besides our group. So it was tough to kind of navigate and you had to kind of like weave around. But even despite that, I managed to come third in time trials in the third race. I did quite well.
Well done.
I went from 41 seconds per lap in the first one down to 36 seconds. So I cut some time down.
I mean, watch out. Forget the Olympics. You're going to be Formula One soon.
I'm going to be. Look out, Lewis Hamilton. I'm coming for Ferrari. Tell me more about that.
Yep.
So that was fun. It was really good to go down. I also got to see Hamilton in theatre because they were playing that at the Lyric Theatre down in Sydney.
Well, you enjoyed it, so thank God it was good, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll see. It was worth it. It was worth it regardless of what I have to pay.
Yeah, I've not seen Hamilton. I've seen half of it on Disney, but I was like,
it's a different experience in person. Like, I've watched half of the Disney Plus special on. It's really good to watch that way as well if you don't have the opportunity to go. But, like, being in person is an experience in itself.
For me personally, I'm in a weird elitist in the sense of, like, when, you know, when I was, like, very young, I used to do a lot of theatre and stuff, and, like, if I had continued it, I would have enjoyed it. But anyway, I hate watching a theatre production when they shoot it like they would shoot TV or something with, like, your close-ups and this angles. And that. And I'm like, no, because the whole stage production is designed for you to see it as a one-shot, not as, like, a close-up or a two. Or so that just does my head in.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't understand American politics, and I got a bit confused.
Yeah, I mean, it is about one of the founding fathers.
And my sister loves it, so I've heard it a lot and it's annoying.
Yeah, look, I liked it. I like the subject matter. I think it's quite interesting how much turmoil it went through during that period of time. And when you were saying before about, like, the close-up shots and that, it was better doing the actual stage show first so I can see the whole production, right? I could see everything. But then I could go watch the Disney Plus presentation, and then I was getting certain close-ups in certain scenes so I could actually see more emotion. Yep. And it kind of made more sense in certain parts that I understood it better. So it was kind of complementary between the two, but I would still say going and seeing it live when they're doing it is still the better experience.
Yeah.
And yeah, I recommend it. If you haven't seen Hamilton or aware of it, I don't know. It's in Sydney still up until the end of the year.
Yeah, it's good.
And next on my list is Wicked. I want to see it before the movie.
I've seen it.
You have? Yeah.
I don't think.
It's in Brisbane at
the
moment.
I think I saw it as it was like a fairly local production. Same company I used to do. I did a couple plays through. But they had a really good cast the year that we went.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. But I grew up watching Wizard of Oz so much that I actually like that story. And I don't like that we're humanizing the Wicked Witch of the West so much. I kind of like her. She's such a perfect villain.
Yeah.
That I kind of.
I agree. I feel like her as a villain instead of
like, oh, and it's a weird thing because it's like they've taken a modern idea of like university and that kind of thing and they've put them there. That's where Glinda and Elphaba meet, right? Like at school or a university. So it's like a weird. Don't get me wrong. Like I think the book and the story is like a fun idea. But I just have such a vision of the Wicked Witch of the West as this, terrifying, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. And I just, watched it so much as a kid.
Would you like an apple?
That's something else.
I know. I just love it. I love when you do it. I agree. I understand exactly your point, but I want to get more of this world, if that makes sense. I've seen Wizard of Oz. It's been a little while, but I've seen it a bunch of times. And now I'm kind of got a taste for theatre. I kind of want to see it before it becomes like one of the mainstream movies and how they make it that way.
Yeah, I think I saw it like maybe 10 years ago on stage.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Even then that was quite late to the whole.
Oh, it's been around for ages.
Ages and ages and ages. Yeah.
That's been my week so far. Obviously, I got sick coming back, so I was so worried about this podcast again.
Were you sick again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just didn't hear from you.
I kind of kept it quiet because I wanted to see how I went first. And I became fine. It was like a 2-day illness. I think it was a plane thing. I don't know if it's an exhaustion thing because it was pretty heavy days, all 3 days. And then I came back on the plane and I kind of knew I was having kind of a half day Thursday. And I was like, ah, and it kind of probably let it in a little bit.
Yeah.
And it only lasted till Friday. So we're all good to record this the week of.
Thank God.
Yeah, we're not able to really push this out anymore with 5 episodes left till the end of the season.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, so we've only got 5 more episodes of this podcast.
What's this in? I don't know.
And then we'll come back for season 3.
Yeah.
After the summer break.
Yeah, I had a big week. Didn't get to watch too much stuff because I had like two work meetings this week, like after my normal like days. So I think I had an additional like 5 hours of work this week just in like evening meetings.
Yeah, it adds up. And then so, also they're the times you usually watch things.
Yeah, so it was a big week. One of the meetings was way more exciting than the other, but
you've told me a little bit about that.
We won't get into that.
I was like, spicy.
Yeah. Well, no, the other meeting was probably more interesting.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, been back doing some work off podcast.
But you have watched a couple of things that you have listed here. Yeah. Tell me about what you've
watching. Watch a lot of like a couple episodes of TV. So like caught up with Agatha All Along, which I didn't love this episode so much.
Is it the one Wiccan?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's very good. It's like it's necessary to the plot, but I was like, this is not as much fun.
You know? It's less about the girls.
Yeah, like less. The other characters are like more fun to watch. Yeah,
you're along there.
He's important, but yeah. Like,
I need. I'm gonna wait till it's all out. Oh, very, it. Very. But fun. I did see that update on the social media that he got revealed. I'm like, okay.
What kind of? I think the internet told me because I don't really like. I follow it, but I'm not
who it is.
Yeah. But I don't. Care for the comic. I'm like, oh, he's Wiccan. Okay, great. Who cares? Like,
whoever that is, good for him.
Literally, I'm like, good for him.
Yeah. I'm glad he found himself.
Yeah. But yeah, and then I watched an episode of this Australian TV show called Firebite, which has been out for a while. And I knew about it because one of the TV shows I worked on, one of the writers was the same. But I found it on SBS and I was watching it for a thing I'm writing, but it was actually really good. It's like based in, I think it's Western Australia. I could be wrong, but out like middle of nowhere. Follows two Indigenous characters, like a father and a daughter, but they have like an estranged relationship. But it's like meets Buffy. Oh, so okay. They're like vampire hunters and it like, yeah, goes into that lore. But the first episode was like really fun. So I watched that. It's worth checking out if anyone wants like an Australian Buffy type show. Like again, I only watched the first ep, but I kind of do want to keep going. Just over time when I've got more time to watch it. Caught up a bit on Mr. and Mrs. Smith because I'm slowly getting through that. And then, yeah, just rewatched a couple things. I did watch It's What's Inside though.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that because I watched it obviously
the week. And you were like, go watch it.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted to get someone else's take on it because I'm the only one I know who's seen it so far. Tell me what you thought.
I enjoyed it, but I don't think I loved it the same way as you did.
No, but yeah, you haven't seen Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
No.
And I felt like it was quite similar to that, but like kind of like pushed some of the elements further from that style. I liked the whole body swap aspect to it.
You would not catch me doing that.
No.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, it was a thriller for that sense. Yuck. And it's like you're playing other people that you're friends with. It was crazy. And keeping track of who was who was like the murder mystery was that.
Do you want to use this experimental technology that uploads your brain into someone else? No.
No, thank you.
No, thanks. No. Nope. Not at all.
And that's.
See ya. I'm out.
Funny that the character who at the start was really, really hesitant to do it ended up absolutely taking advantage of it by the end.
Oh, yeah.
I found it was really cool.
No, it was a cool film.
And obviously the concept of what happens when they can't swap back. Because it really spirals out of control towards the end. And keeping tabs of, yeah, like that's the whole point. Keeping tabs of who was who.
Oh, I stopped paying attention. I just let them tell me.
I was like literally thinking math equations in my head to try and work out who was who, then them for was doing this at that time.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Yeah. You'll tell me when I need to know.
You'll tell me the block.
It will be revealed.
It will all be revealed, yep. Which I kind of like It's an easier film. In terms of the teen thriller, because it is kind of a teen thriller, right? It's not horror in any way.
I think it's one of those films that horror? People confuse for horror. Like
it's not, but
it's like, oh, The Silence of the Lambs sometimes gets put in horror. It's not, but it's so close.
Mm. It has elements of it, but I thought it was really cool in terms of like the set design and cinematography at times. Like, yeah, it's not a blockbuster, but.
Oh, I did like the concept at the beginning where they've got one of them that's an artist and they're like, oh, here's my artwork with the different colors. It reveals
that was cool.
Different parts. Yeah. And then they use that concept, kind of like the old 3D glasses. They use that concept in the lighting.
To show who they really are.
That I appreciated.
That was a really.
Artistry.
Yeah. Really, really smart. Good for Netflix. You know, out of what they've been churning out lately, that's been one of the better things.
They've done quite well. I don't mind their model where they take something from a festival that wouldn't normally get a very wide release at all, and then they go, we're going to take it and distribute it. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
What I don't love is when they take films that should get a theatrical release and would normally get one, and then they go, no. Like, I saw something the other day with Daniel Craig about
Queer?
The about the series Knives Out.
Yeah,
how they were talking about how the proof from the previous one showed that this next one should get a theatrical release, and Netflix went, well, that's not our model. And he went, well, your model's bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
he like went at them, like, and I was like, good for you, because him and Ryan Johnson are kind of bummed that they don't get theatrical releases, like wider ones.
Yeah, because I saw the Glass Onion in cinemas.
I saw,
and it was a far better experience
in cinemas. Yeah,
yeah, because it was only a week release. Or a couple of sessions a month before it went to Netflix. Yep. And I went and made sure I saw it. And it was great in the cinema. It was a really cool experience. I hope the third one has that, at least that opportunity again for like a small week. I will go do.
Yeah, I'd like to make the effort and go see it.
Yeah, it's good. Speaking of Netflix, I guess, questionable films, I watched two this week.
Did you?
Yeah, I watched Uglies from 2024, this release.
Yeah, I didn't bother. I was too old, I think, to read the books, or I just never did.
This movie's 10 years too late, based on, like, obviously it's a young adult dystopian world where a girl has to save basically everyone when she realizes who she really is. It's a really weird concept where, so everyone's born, it's like in the, slightly in the future, and society's worked out that if everyone is quote unquote pretty, they'll stop wars. And so when everyone reaches the age of 16, like, they get their plastic surgery to become pretty, and then you can enter the city and go to all these beautiful parties and stuff. But until then, they're at this like academy where they, like, you know, go to school and stuff, and then on their 16th birthday, they get announced and then they can go across. She's got a best friend which she's been going up through the academy with. His birthday's 3 months before. And they're like, yeah, promise you'll meet me here in a month, even though you'll be over there. Like, we'll meet up. We'll still be friends. And he goes off a month later. She hasn't heard anything from him, no text or anything. She goes to the meeting spot. He's not there. And so she's like, what's happened? Like, where is he? Maybe he's in trouble. So she goes to try and find him in the pretty city. And he's like turned into like basically
F-Boy Island.
Yeah, basically like an influencer type. And they're like, who are you? You'll understand what it's like here once you're pretty.
Right.
And then she's like, questioning everything, if she wants to do it, if it changes that much. And then she meets one of her other friends at the academy who's like, there's this utopia where you don't have to like change yourself out in the wilderness. And then so the friend goes off that way. And so she's caught in the middle. Like, do I turn pretty or do I go off and be my real person? And then one of the bad people who's running like the pretty city uses her to try and kill all the people in the utopian wilderness thing. It's just ridiculous.
Jesus.
Apparently there's more than one book.
Yeah, there is. It's like a whole series. It's
three or four. Yeah. It gets really ridiculous. So that's the premise. In terms of everything else that requires a movie to be good, one's acting. they didn't quite get that sign up from anyone because it's Joey King who's the main actress in it. Look, I've seen her do really good work. Like in Bullet Train, she's fantastic. She phones this in.
Yeah.
It's really not great.
It's one of those concepts, I think, where I found with young adult stuff, not all of it, but some of it works really well. Like even like John Green stuff, for example, when you read it, you're like, yeah, I can get behind this. This makes sense. This sounds good. But actually seeing someone say a lot of those words and be in the different scenarios. Yeah, because your imagination often takes the cringe
away
out
because
it's not so distinct in front of you. But then you got to watch it. It's like, oh, that didn't translate.
Did not land well. Yeah, that's how it feels with this Uglies. And it's getting absolutely roasted online.
I have seen that. That's why I thought, you know what, I'll give this one a miss.
And I kind of agree with him. Like, it's not really made really well. It's got like CGI that feels like it's from about, I don't know, like late 2000s. It's pretty cringe. Well, their mode of transportation is basically like a hoverboard that's similar to like Back to the Future style hoverboard.
Right.
And that gets them around and stuff. It's a very weird movie.
Speaking of other things that didn't land, you watched more than me actually.
Oh my God.
But I checked out the first two episodes of The Office Australia. Now look, I'll preface this by saying I've only seen a handful of snippets from the US Office, so I'm not like a fan. That being said, I really wanted this to work. Like, I wanted this to work for the people that were behind it because I've met one of the ladies that did a lot, and she's actually quite funny, but this was not it.
I also wanted to give it benefit of the doubt. Even after seeing the trailer, after realizing the concept's like kind of dead, like yeah. sitcoms are kind of dead. But I watched 4 episodes of this and I wanted to give it at least some go, not just watch the pilot and go, yeah, there's this crap.
Yeah.
It doesn't really improve. The issue is, and I've spoken to, I think you a little bit, and Ben, it's so forced. There's no natural comedy here. The chemistry between the characters is just wrong. Like it feels like a carbon copy print of the US version. Some gender flippage, which isn't the issue, by the way, has no issue on why its quality is bad.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But there's no chemistry between the characters that are supposed to be like, you know, like your Pam and that from the US one. It's just, yeah, really forced humor. I don't know which audience this is for. It's not made for the Australian audience, but it's also not made for a wider US audience or UK audience. So it doesn't know who it's for. It doesn't know how to land the jokes properly. Felicity Ward's character, who plays like the Michael Scott type from the US, is just irritating and not the funny kind where you go, oh, that cringe is kind of funny. It's just awful.
Yeah.
If anyone was that incompetent, like I know Michael Scott was, but he had moments of brilliance.
Yeah.
That he would show it every now and then and go, okay, that makes sense. Felicity Ward's character is just, she wouldn't be working anywhere. You know what I mean? Like it's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah. I only watched like 2, but it was difficult. I think we're talking about the fact as well as like currently, or we only just finished Utopia,
yeah,
which was kind of our Australian Office without actually following that story. Like it was an original idea. And then we've got currently on TV Fisk, which is like a legal drama, but kind of based same in vein. The Office.
Yeah.
So it's like they've probably exhausted a lot of the Australian jokes that are original. Yeah. So now what can you do to make it its own thing in this country as opposed to literally carbon copying like
yep.
the US one? Kind of shot ourselves in the foot with this.
Yeah, I just don't know where someone's gone, hey, let's sit down and let's think of a way to do The Office in Australia. And then...
And I wonder...
Where did that concept come from?
I wonder if there at one point was different stuff in it and then Amazon goes, no, we need it for our market, so you yeah. have to water down some of it. Maybe that happened.
I have a feeling probably. They would have probably had some say in it. That's pretty, like a strong say in it.
Yeah, but it just kind of ends up being for no one, which is disappointing.
Yeah, this will definitely not get continued. Like I can safely say
no.
that there's nothing there for it to go into a second season. It sucks, but also the writing was pretty on the wall before you even put anything out.
Well, it's just the fact that like I think this is like the 13th iteration of
The Office
like worldwide. I mean, that's a bad thing. That's just
stop
bad in itself.
Doing like, it, yeah. Like
don't.
Even the US one finished 6 years ago.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
As I said, like the sitcom genre is done.
Mm-hmm.
TV's changed.
I don't know what they're making that is sitcoms currently.
Not much that's like that anymore.
I'm not sure. No.
Like Big Bang Theory's wrapped up. That was one of the last big ones. Even like Modern Family's done. Even though it's not single cam, it's
yeah.
Well, it is single cam. It's not multicam. But it's like that structure's done as well. It's kind of changed. Like TV's changed.
Oh, definitely. Everything's so, shorter.
Yeah, trying to release The Office Australia at this time, a bit too late in my opinion, especially when you're just going to copy it in a worse form. Ugh. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks, but yeah, the writing's on the wall.
Like there are a couple of moments where I almost laughed. You know,
oh, I'm more like eye roll. And I was like,
yeah,
oh my God.
You almost laugh and then it lands and you go, oh.
Oh.
Not quite.
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. On to the next thing.
On to the next.
I watched a really, really significant horror movie this week.
Yeah, tell me about this because I've not seen this one yet. I'm a little scared of it.
The Exorcist from 1973. So I hired it out on Amazon because it wasn't on anything. I was like, I'm going to watch this episode's obviously the Halloween special. I needed to have some juice for it, right? Yep. Like I had to watch at least a couple of horror movies this week to go, I've got something else to talk about.
Yeah.
Watched The Exorcist. I picked the director's cut special. So I was like, oh, give me everything. Give me everything. It's a really incredibly well done movie for its time.
Okay, so not so scary now?
Not at all.
Interesting. No.
So this was done 50 years ago.
Yeah.
50 years. When this was released in cinemas in 1973 or 74, this would have been revolutionary. You can tell why people were freaked out when this came to theaters 50 years ago. But in terms of today's standards, very tame.
Interesting.
Very, very tame.
I've seen stills and I'm like, ooh.
The stills you've seen are probably the scariest part.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very tame. It's good. The acting from Linda Blair.
I think you're correct.
The daughter, the character that gets possessed. Incredible. She does a really good job to going from like sweet, innocent kid to slowly but surely like being possessed by this demon. It's good. It's just dated.
Right.
It's hard to explain. Like it's based on a book. It's pretty close to the book. It's got a lot of religious kind of undertones throughout it. Obviously, Exorcist, you get the two priests come and try and do the ritual. Mm-hmm. Crazy shit happens towards the end in the room. But the lead up's quite good. The acting's fantastic. It's worth checking out, and I think you could handle it actually pretty well.
Yeah, it's a famously haunted film, which always makes me a little superstitious.
Yeah, I think give it a crack if you get the opportunity at some point in your life. Check it out.
I have to.
I think you would handle it quite well. Interesting. It's pretty tame.
Yeah. The only other one I'm sort of, I don't know if I'll touch it, is The Omen.
Yeah. I want to at some point.
Yeah. I think for me, because I've got like family members who were very like close to that film and that production.
Yeah.
Very close to the people that worked on it and have come back with a plethora of like
issues.
Hey, this stuff happened on this film. Ugh. And like many people died.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, my great aunt was married to her first husband and he worked on it and like he got in an accident, like should have died outside of a town called Oman. Like there's just so many stories from that film that like, yeah, whatever they were into was just they shouldn't have been into. Because like the thing is with those kind of films, if done textbook, you're kind of playing with like the occult, whether you believe it or not. Yeah, and it's like sometimes that's a bad idea. Right? Like,
yeah, 100%. Like the Ouija board movies and stuff.
Yeah, no, won't catch me doing one of them at all. I already see there's a man in my house.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I've already seen him. Yeah.
You don't want to make it worse.
I'm going to stay there. So.
I will not be getting a Ouija board to contact you. Thank you very much.
Don't need to. He already shows up in the mirror.
No, thank you.
That's actually what happened. Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, yeah, no. I was just like doing my hair or makeup or something in the mirror and like in the reflection of it in the like one of the doorways.
Yeah.
To a couple of the rooms in the house that I don't really frequent, so it's fine. Just saw a man.
Just hanging out?
Just standing there.
What was he wearing?
Like a hat.
Yeah.
And like kind of like a coat or something. Yep. I don't know, I only saw him for a split second.
Yeah, okay.
But like that's the image of him, I guess, that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the split like second sort of you saw.
Like grays or browns or something. That was like a couple months ago.
Yeah, right. You did not tell me about this.
Oh, it's just another story. I've got heaps of them.
I've got a few. Yeah. Line them up.
Yeah, that's like probably, I haven't really seen much in this house that I live in currently.
It was the one across the road mostly.
The one across the road, yeah, heaps of stories. Heaps.
Could we just where the houses are?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, don't know what's happened there.
Don't know. My sister works somewhere that's very haunted, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, children's laughing and then doors all shut.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it used to be a juvenile detention center.
Speaking of terrifying horror movies.
Yes.
I went and saw Smile 2 at the cinema the other night. I've seen Smile 1 and I knew the elements they're going to use in this film, like the jump scares and the terror and the timing and all that. So I was kind of somewhat ready, but not ready because this movie just dials it up to 1,000. It's really good. If you really want to be terrified by a movie, Smile 2 will do it to you. 100%.
I'll have to check it out at some point. I want to see the first
panic
one.
Panic inducing.
As well.
Like, yeah, they're really well done.
I've just had some really like boring, don't need to go into the podcast, like adult bills to pay recently.
Yeah,
so
we've spoken about
like,
this and it's like,
oh. Like, I don't have money for fun right now.
I can't do anything.
Yeah.
This one's cool because it takes, like the first one's about a psychiatrist who obviously sees someone kill themselves.
Oh.
And it is about grief and trauma. And that's what gets put onto that next person. And the next 7 days, they start seeing things based on what this demon makes them see. And obviously, it makes people smile at them and does really other creepy things as well throughout the movie. This one connects straight to the end of the first film, so you kind of do need to see it. But, like, it eventually gets to a pop star. And it's the idea of, like, the trauma and the grief. Something happens to her in her flashback, but also, like, the anxiety and the fear of being famous and what that means, like acceptance and stuff. It all kind of tackles those themes through this horror movie and what her experience is like for these 7 days that she starts seeing things and what's real, what's reality, and how far down the rabbit hole she goes and what she does to confront some of it. And it gets pretty unhinged towards the end. I thoroughly recommend seeing it. You will be terrified. You'll jump and you'll shit yourself in the seat a number of times, but it's such a thrill ride. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to go see a scary one with you because we've seen a handful of horrors in theater, but they haven't been like shit your pants scary ones.
Yeah, you would have had a good time with this. It was wild. It was wild. You could tell like, because we had a couple of, it's a pretty new showing and we saw it on the Friday. So it was like the first weekend of it.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of people in our cinema. And you could tell when there was a really scary part. You could hear everyone going, and then when something did actually jump scare, you'd hear a few people go, oh. It was really, like, it's a good experience.
It's always fun when you can,
yeah,
like, shit yourself and then a collective quiet giggle.
Yeah, because, like, you know, everyone's kind everyone of experienced that at the same time.
You need to let go of that feeling by, like, having a little
there's,
laugh.
There's something that happens where I knew something jumps at a certain point because a bit of it's revealed in the trailer, but not the full thing. So I kind of knew it was going to jump at that point, right? But I assume Ben didn't because yeah. I was sitting next to him and I saw how much he jumped into the air. It was like nearly a whole foot. And so it's good to experience it with other people. It's a really good film. Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much me this week. I mean, I rewatched Wizard of Oz because
and
I
Practical
just,
Magic
and Practical
I saw.
Magic, yeah. I got it on – a friend was talking about it at work. And then I was like, oh, I haven't watched that in a while. Like, I should rewatch it. Like, it's Halloween month, yeah. Whatever. But then, like – I didn't have a streaming service it was on, so I picked it up from work. It's fun. It's a fun movie. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Not since, like, the early 2000s, though.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's been a while. And when I saw you watched it, because I saw your letterbox, I was like, oh, where am I? I need to watch that again. Like, I remember liking it, but it's been so long, I can't remember the plot.
Well, get in line, because I bought it from work, but one of my work friends wants to watch it.
I'd watch it straight away.
Yeah, she got it in for me. She said, the condition is that I get to watch it. And first, I said, you're a cheeky.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, that's a fair trade.
I mean, fair. But yeah, no, it's a fun movie. And I was like, I turned it on, like, put it on. And because it's like DVD, it has like a really like cute, like witchy, like.
Menu
and like all the icons are like specific and it's got like director's commentary and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I have to watch this at some point. Probably I'll lend it out first.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I'll like watch that.
Yeah, cool.
It's just fun.
Yeah, I miss when DVD menus and stuff were added into the DVD.
Yeah, like, so, and make like, it like
make it themed. Like, make it, you've bought that, like, rather than plain menu, press play.
Yeah, no, this one's, I watched this a couple of years ago. It's like, it's a fun one. It's about three generations of witches, like, they're all siblings. And yeah, so there's the older aunts, because it's always like, they're always aunts.
Yep.
And then it's Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
And then it's Sandra Bullock's kids.
Yep.
And it's just like, they're all cursed. It's a family curse about falling in love. So, like, that theme comes down and then,
yeah.
Sandra Bullock's character, like, had a love, but then, like, it wasn't, like, the one.
Oh, yes.
And then Nicole Kidman was, like, the womanizer type one. Yeah. So she ends up in this, like, very bad relationship, which goes south, and then they just sort of have to pick up the pieces. And, stuff, and it's just hijinks. It's fun.
Worth checking out.
They have midnight margaritas. That's a fun scene.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'll check it out again once you're done and dusted with it. I'll give it a watch again.
Yeah. I'll probably have it to you for the week of Halloween.
Yeah. I'll watch it as soon as I get it. Yeah. One of those ones. Cool. I think we're ready to get into our main topic of today.
Yeah. And we're just going to have a little chit chat.
Discussion around like Halloween period, some scares, some favorites, things that you wouldn't know about us about scary movies and stuff. Just go through it conversationally, I guess.
I wanted to get into it because we're obviously like we're in Australia and Halloween's only like kicked off in the last probably 10 years like in this country. Like obviously the UK and the US were like.
Oh, it's been going forever.
Gangbusters with it. But like what was it like when you were a kid? Did you kind of get into it?
Funny story. So we weren't, when I say we, me, I wasn't allowed to really celebrate it because my mum had the attitude of, oh, we're not celebrating Halloween. That's an American thing.
That was my
thing. That's not something we do. I'm like, I can see all the kids in our street doing it. Yeah. You know, like just do it. Like, I don't know. So it was a bit disappointing.
That was us at our like our neighborhood and stuff. Like a couple of kids at school would do it, but you were like, it was kind of in this country. It was the attitude of like, oh, you're doing Halloween, but why? You're going to go to a bunch of houses and get turned away because like,
no one else thinks to do it.
Only like truly a handful of people were doing Halloween in this country. That being said, my first Halloween was when I went overseas to visit family. We went to England and it's big over there. So they like, they dressed us up as like little witches and stuff. And then I remember distinctly at one point, like someone knocked on the door.
Mm.
My grandma conveniently went to the toilet at the time. And there was like a witch at the door and she was like, I don't know, harassing us or whatever. But like, you know, it all ended. We're like, oh, there's a witch, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, grandma, that was you, right? Like you just been, she's like, no, I went to the toilet. And we're like, no, but you just been. And I swear to God, I only got out of this woman a couple of years ago that like,
that was her.
Yes, that was me that like dressed up.
That's so good.
So like, there was always that little, you know, when you're a kid and you know something, but unless someone confirms
it. You're like, I know it, but
I need you to say
otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, I don't know to believe it.
Would say it. So yeah, so we had that and then, oh God, that was horrific. They made us do all this, like they made us do like apple bombing and stuff like that.
Yeah, the old school stuff.
But they made us this one, do this one little gross thing where it was like, they had little lollies and they'd put them in flour and we had to like, without our hands, like pick the things out. But the problem is with flour, that gets wet.
Oh yeah.
That shit turns to glue. And we're like crying because our mouths are like getting glued together. And they're like, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Just go rinse it out. And we're just like having a full panic attack. And they're like laughing like, it's fine, it's fine.
This is your
Halloween.
And me
and my sister just looking at each other like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. And they're still like, oh, it's fine.
It's like, you'll be good.
We're like, no.
90s, early 2000s, am I right? Oh,
but it was fun. It was cool having had like one experience of it. Because then I came back, you know, to Australia, we like never did it.
Yeah, it was weird because like it just, I was in like a smaller coastal town. So yeah, I guess there wasn't a great deal of people doing it, but there was some and I would have liked to have kind of got involved, but at the end of the day, it wasn't much, right?
No, it's only in the last maybe 5-6 years that I've really got into it.
Mm.
I think because when I was at uni, we were making a short film, like a vampire short dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, we were like, oh, we need to fundraise money. So my team did like a Halloween night. We hired out like one of the rooms in, I think, the Black Bear Lodge or something in the valley. Yeah, yeah. And we all did like a Halloween party.
That's fun.
Yeah, I like full Wednesday Addams, like dyed my hair, bought a dress. It was cool.
Yeah, I think when it became more prominent for me was obviously when we worked at, you know, work.
Yep.
And
name drop it.
I'm not going to. No. Yeah, and obviously it becomes a big event that you can kind of dress up on the day. Like you can get involved. No one's going to say anything. It's actually encouraged and it's more celebrated that way. So it meant something from there.
It's fun. I'm a big kid in that. I think probably my most iconic one recently, and I do not have the money or the effort to do that this year, but when I did Lydia Dietz a couple of years back.
That's your best one because you had the camera and everything.
Oh my God, that was the most stressful Halloween ever because I didn't think anyone was doing it and I'd only ever done the Wednesday before that, but I like knew that was coming up for months. So I bought a dress online. I grew my hair out just so that I could dye it and do the plaits, like fully prepared. This one I had, I think, under a week.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, oh no, we're doing it. And I went, oh God. Oh,
I think
and
I
like
this. Yeah.
Managed to like run to Target and find a dress. And I was like, okay, I've got a dress. That's the first bit.
Mm.
And then like just continued to like
quickly get things.
Go to Spotlight and get one thing. I was like, I need something else. Cause if I'm doing a costume and I'm doing like a character,
all in.
It has to be all in.
Yeah. You don't want to half ass that.
So I like, oh my God, I bought hair dye. I dyed my hair twice because I bought one hair dye and it didn't take.
Didn't
and it was just like, oh, it's like the same color as your hair. And I was like, no, I need to do it again. So I'd like get someone to like run me to a specific chemist to get like some hair dye that I knew how to use to like do it. It was mental. And I've done that twice.
It turned out well.
Because we
it
had like a
yeah, you did it the year 80s. After, I think.
And then what was the other one I did? Oh, my Lazy the Craft.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have time or money and I was like, you know what I've got in my wardrobe? I'm like, I have a shirt of my mother's from the 90s.
This will work. Yeah, no, it's good. You get the opportunity to dress up with different things. I've had some different ideas that I kind of hadn't put into fruition, but I was like, I wish I did that.
Yeah, I wish I'd done more when I buzzed my head because I was like, oh, I could do all these characters, but then it grows very quickly.
Yeah, when it's at the smallest amount of hair, it grows very quickly.
And I did not put in the effort. No. So I think we should like
endeavor to do some things throughout the year,
you know, when we're like, you know what, it doesn't have to be Halloween.
No. There's always opportunities to dress up.
Let's just be big kids and call it for the podcast.
Let's just do it. Get some photos and put them up on the socials.
There you go.
There's other reasons to follow us. See what we dress up as. What silliness can we create? Oh, we're so silly.
My hair's growing rapidly, so we'll
It really is. It's getting quite long now. I still reckon do those side shaves. They look cool.
Here's the thing, right? I had an undercut. I grew it out. I was like, oh my God, my hair's finally long. It's all the same length. I'm going to grow my hair out for the first time in like years. And then I impulsively agreed to shave it.
I remember and how quickly you were like, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, okay. You're doing it.
Yeah. And now it's growing back. So I don't know if I want to shave it again.
No, maybe just let it grow.
Because it's finally.
It's getting long.
And then I'm going to have the awkward grow out of an undercut again. And I just don't think.
No.
I think I'm ready for that just
yet. You have to consistently have that done then.
Yeah, and I can't do it myself. I'd have to come over here every week and be like, Shannon, you're up.
I mean, I would. It'd be funny.
Oh, if it goes wrong, you just the whole lot.
The whole thing again. Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, why not? It grows back for some people. All right, your favorite horror film.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, like I've got a few that I enjoy watching, but I think for me, I'm like horror series.
Yeah, you're saying
I think
that,
I'm very big, like Mike Flanagan.
Oh.
Every year have to rewatch. Like, I mean, most Octobers since Hill House came out, I'm like, I'm rewatching Hill House. I'm rewatching Bly.
I liked the two newer ones, the Midnight Mass and House of Usher.
Midnight Mass, I've only seen twice.
Only twice.
Yeah.
It's like 10 episodes, hour
and
long.
And then, Usher I've only seen.
Well, that only came out last year.
Usher once, and then the other one he did, Midnight Club, I've only seen.
I need to see his movies.
Once now. Oh, yeah, I watched Hush. I love Hush.
I need to see Hush. I can't find it anywhere.
Actually, I do love. That's
a film
maybe
you
not
love.
My favorite.
Yeah, but it's good.
But it's a very good film. Like, just it's so cheap. Like, they didn't have money or anything, but as a concept.
Yeah.
Really effective.
That's why I want to see it. Because
that's the one they did that she's a deaf girl and she lives in this house by herself.
Someone else has broken in, I think.
And someone breaks in to kill her. And
that's crazy.
She can't call for help.
No.
And she's in the middle of nowhere.
It's a great concept. If I can find it, I'll watch it.
Yeah. I think they're re-releasing it. So
hopefully. He said that on Letterboxd. I've been following him.
Yeah. I love his, we may as well just talk about Mike, but he's got this one list and it's like films my wife says she's seen but has never seen because he's married to Kate Siegel who co-wrote Hush and she's been in all of his
series.
His stuff. Yeah. And she knows that she'll get like the biggest lecture from him. So she just goes, oh yeah, of course I've seen that just to save the lecture. But now he's slowly making her watch everything, which I mean like good
it's
for her and good for him.
Funny that you say that because I knew about the list and this week she literally watched The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And he said, he's like, she's finally can tick this off and like this list and I won't bug her about it.
Oh, she's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's the same week I watched it as well. And I saw a few other people watching The Exorcist, I guess, for October.
Yeah.
So it was thematic to watch.
Do you have a favorite horror?
I love, and we've spoken about this in a episode before, I love the Scream series. I could put on pretty much all of them and kind of just really enjoy the experience. So I think Scream for me is a really big one. Donnie Darko is awesome as well.
Is that horror?
Yeah, it kind of does fall in that.
A little bit, yeah. I haven't seen that in ages, but I love it.
Yeah, not so much. Like, I like the Final Destination movies, yet again, they're not really horror. They're more like.
Yeah, they are horror, though.
You know what I mean? They are, but they're like not scary horror.
No, we're not big horror heads.
We're not. Well, look, I'll be honest. We're not. It's taken me a long time to get here to pretty much watch a big chunk of horror movies.
Yeah.
For the biggest time, I was like, no, like a phobia, basically, of them. Just because the experience I had as a child watching Mars Attacks.
Oh, tell us. Come on.
As a kid, I was probably only about 6 and I was watching, you know, free to air and the movie they put on for the 8:30 session was Mars Attacks. I can't remember if it was an October thing or not. And, you know, it looks funny. Like you watch it, there's a bunch of big names during that era as well. It's a pretty big movie. It's Tim Burton, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the part where the aliens arrive. And at the time, the CGI is pretty bad now, but you're watching it on like one of those like you know, rear projection dome TVs that are shit anyway. So it looks kind of legit. And it gets to the part where they are talking to, I think, Congress or something, and the alien just rays the entire, like, stun rays the entire audience and kills them, like, just evaporates them. And I was just mortified as a child. I was like, what do you mean? Like, they're all dead. And, like, it's a comedy.
That is so funny.
And then I didn't watch the rest of it because I was quite distraught after that cinema. And there's a scene also when they have a battle and someone's arm gets cut off. Anyway, so it was a bit confronting for me because I was pretty young. And I went to bed and I literally stayed wide awake all night. I was just staring at the ceiling, just going, I can't go to sleep. I can't sleep. The aliens, they're going to come and ray everyone. And so I freaked out, and obviously it got over it. But I think it's like a core thing that stuck with me, just being like, oh, it's a horror movie. It's going to be terrifying. Like, I'm just going to stay awake all night for most of my life. So I just kind of avoided watching most of those style of movies.
Funny that that's a scary one for you as a kid, because I've got one that's pretty similar. So when I don't know, there was like one day when I was a kid and like, I don't know, stuff was going on at home and mum's best friend was like, oh, I'll take the kids for like the day, like you sort out the drama, whatever. Anyway, so we go over to her house and she doesn't really have kids films. Anyway, she puts on Independence Day and I must have been about seven or eight.
I can see it.
Probably not eight, maybe seven. And so we're watching this film and my mum hadn't really let us watch like anything scary because she's like, God, they're impressionable and I don't want to deal with that.
Yep.
Anyway, so we're sitting there, we're kind of getting through it, whatever. Meanwhile, mum's friend has had to get up to go pay the dog wash man and she leaves us at like the scariest point. I think they're operating on an alien maybe.
They are at one point. Yeah,
that's the bit I remember. And like it like jumps out or something happens. Yeah. And me and my sister absolutely like crapped our dacks and she like comes back in and she just sees our like tiny little faces just like terrified. Yeah. And she's like, I left you at the scariest.
I left you for 1 minute. And, like, I left you for 1 minute.
Like, we'll laugh about that. Like,
yeah.
Forever, just because it wasn't necessarily like a scary film, but it just ruined us. And then another one actually that I watched as a kid that is just, it just sticks in my brain to this day is I think it's like a loose horror film with Sandra Bullock called Premonition. And she gets all these premonitions that like, I think her husband had died. And so she's like messed up. And then she keeps getting like these really like effed up premonitions about like her kids running through glass doors, like, you know, car accident, like just all this stuff. And I remember I must have been kind of young watching it and it confused me and just freaked me out in this weird, like weird way. But then I was listening to Brett Goldstein's podcast Films to Be Buried With, and he mentioned at one point, he goes, oh, that's a shocking film, like none of it makes sense.
And you're like, well,
maybe that's why I was so scared. Yeah. Because my kid brain was trying to like understand it, plus this concept of like premonitions, which I didn't know about at that age, and just
it's too much.
The whole thing was just too much and it stuck with me forever, and I've never rewatched it, not because I'm necessarily scared, but now that I've heard it's such a like crap film, I'm like, maybe I just won't bother, maybe I'll just leave.
Maybe don't
go
back. Another one for me from when I was in my teenage years was I had a group of friends and we obviously stayed at someone's house together and they decided on a movie. Everyone kind of voted to put on Jeepers Creepers 1.
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it since. I didn't really watch it then. The reason why is we're all kind of sitting sleeping in like the lounge room and they put it on and I try to start watching and I really didn't want to. I was pretty much against it. I was like, we've got a couple of comedies, let's just watch that. And so I just kind of like acted asleep. I just kind of like rolled over and kind of closed my eyes for the remainder of like the hour 40 movie, but I could hear everything.
It's worse.
It's probably worse actually, because you could hear like crunching and screaming and stuff and I'm like, I just want this to be over.
That's so
I just weird. Acted asleep for basically 95% of Jeepers Creepers.
I think there has to be something that's said for like basically hanging out on someone's floor watching a horror film when
it's terrifying,
you're not really into it, because that's how I first watched, the only time I've watched it, I was gonna rewatch it this week but ran out of time, was Rosemary's Baby. And that might be one of the ones that scared me the most because I hadn't really seen much horror. I'd seen some slashers in school because we studied it. So I was like, oh, yeah, slashers. Slashers are like fun horror.
Yeah, exactly right. It's I think they are. They're very comedic at times. Like, mostly they are, yeah.
Genre. And it was, it must have been, it was a New Year's party and like we just turned 18. So it was like, I don't know, our friend's parents were like, yeah, you can have it here, whatever. And her parents had gone out for the night. And I had never been to this girl's house before, like known her for years, but never been to her house. So one, I didn't know the room. Two, she drank too much and she fell asleep like right after. God. Like we had to wake her up before midnight. Yeah. And then she like fell asleep. But I don't know if she fell asleep or she was just afraid. And I still haven't got that answer out of her.
Probably
and one
afraid.
Of, yeah, one of our friends said, hey, let's watch a movie. And then she said, let's watch a horror movie. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'm game. So we're all laying on the floor watching Rosemary's Baby, which is like, oh, it's up there as like a good horror film. And it's surreal. So you're just like waiting to see this effed up spawn of Satan baby. And at one point when we're watching it, the remote just flung itself off the table and on the floor. Just like absolutely like died. But yeah, just being so scared watching that film. Like we watched it to like 3 a.m. or something stupid. Just like waiting for this reveal.
Yeah. I bet if you watch it now, like I know you said you haven't yet, but you probably will watch it in the next, I don't know, couple of months or something. At some point.
Yeah.
You probably go, oh. Like it's not what I remember it as.
I think the environment definitely played a big part.
Yeah, it would have.
Also, I don't think I'd seen a lot of like surrealist cinema.
Same thing.
So the whole combination.
Getting used to that and then you go watch it again. You go, oh, well, that's I've seen plenty of
famously haunted films as well. I mean, Polanski's just...
It's
a scumbag.
It's Polanski, so yeah.
But it's a great film.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it spawned a few sequels. It's got one sequel and now a prequel, actually. It's got Apartment 7A that just got released on Binge. That's in the world of Rosemary's Baby.
Prequels for horror kind of take the suspense away from it.
Yeah.
I don't need to know how this happened or where it originated or what's going on. I just need to be
an interesting one thrown in. Like, when a horror movie does really well, which... is common because it doesn't cost much and there's a cult usually always for horror. It doesn't matter who. It always spawns sequels like or like world-building movies to this thing and it just becomes out of control. Like look at Saw.
Yeah.
The first one, the concept is incredible and it did really well.
Well, I did a like a because I'm not a big, like I said, big horror Halloween type, but there was one year a couple of years ago where I was like watching just horror. That's pretty much, I think, almost exclusively all I watched for an entire month.
Yeah.
And can I tell you like 90% of those films I saw? No. I can't because I wrote a list but I lost that.
It's gone. I didn't think last year I watched a couple of the OG original films. Mm-hmm. Like I watched Nightmare on Elm Street. I watched the original Friday the 13th. And it's just funny that from those movies stemmed such a following. Like they're good but they're quite tame and they're quite like they're not really that big.
No.
Right? Like, you watch me and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre and I, like, turned all the lights off and I, like,
it's
opened
quite,
my blinds so it, like, felt kind of spooky because you can see out the window. But, yeah, no.
Yeah, comparatively. It's interesting. It's interesting. What films are you terrified most now rather than being a kid? Like, if you went to watch?
Definitely, like, the ones that scare me the most are, like, specific occult ones.
Yeah, like the religious kind
of not all
angle.
Of them, but just some of them. Like, oh, we're going to summon some stuff. And I go, oh, God.
Please
don't. No, please. That's such a bad idea. But I think that comes from, like, being in houses where there is stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to summon them, you know, like, try and get a demon in. Like, no, thanks. Let's just – the concept itself, I'm like, let's not do this. So I think it fills me with, like, dread in that sense. And I haven't, there's a couple that people are like, oh, you should watch this. And I'm like,
no.
Well, there's one that I just don't ever feel like watching. Like, you know, you've got your like human centipede and stuff, which I got told about when I was quite young from a family friend who he'd seen it. And he's like, oh, this is a plot. I'm like, I have no desire to watch this. And I just don't think.
I don't like the gore ones. You know, where it's just gore on top of gore.
Yeah.
And it's not scary. It's just. People getting cut up or like killed and you're like, there's nothing to this plot. Like, what are you adding to this story. Yeah, okay.
I think the Terrifier films are like that kind
of. We were speaking to that point earlier. It's like Art the Clown has become the next kind of horror icon.
Mm.
Because it's very distinct. Everyone knows who it is now after three movies, and it's going to become like the next Jason or something, I think, because they're going to have more.
Oh, absolutely.
But the same vein, it's like this is specifically for a type of horror aficionado. Like you're really getting a pretty rough as guts plot, but you're getting, you know exactly what you're getting. You're getting pretty butchered kills. Like they're pretty, pretty full on. I've seen a couple online and when Ben was playing Terrifier 2 here. So if you go in knowing specifically what you're getting, it's like, yeah, okay. But if you go in, you're, oh, I'm just going to be keen for a horror film, it might not be your style of horror. It's hard to say.
Yeah, they're not really my...
They're not my cup of tea, my though. Cup of tea. Like, I haven't gone around out to rewatch Terrifier 1, 2, 3. I'm not probably going to. It's not because I'm scared of them. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I'm just not going to enjoy myself at all.
Yeah, but I get why people can like it.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, but just not for me.
Yeah, I do like watching some of the, like old school horrors. And I remember watching Poltergeist.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. Quite enjoying
it. Yeah. And then reading up on it and they're like, the bodies in the pool were real human skeletons. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they were. I heard about
that. They didn't tell it because they were like, oh, let's not tell our lead actress. Thank God there's like legal stuff now. Like laws would be like, let's protect some of the people that we hire.
That's literal, dead bodies.
But it was cheaper to get human skeletons than
plastic.
Plastic.
And just paint them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the little girl, like it was like one of those like haunted films.
Mm.
Where, like, she died super young in, like, a weird way or something. Yeah, Heather O'Rourke. Like, yeah. But I remember enjoying it.
I got to see that one still. I'm trying to think of the other earlier ones. There's a few, like, there's heaps of iconic movies. Oh, funnily enough, you're speaking about Mars Attacks and that. Well, I was. I only saw the Alien films recently. Like, I just avoided them because I was like, oh, Aliens, I guess Mars Attacks. I think I watched the first Alien film only about 4 years ago. Like around COVID when I was stuck watching a lot of movies?
Yeah, I think I was the same. No, just before that actually. Yeah. Yeah.
And I watched a lot, like pretty much all of them in a row and I loved them. I was like, these are fantastic.
My sister just actually got to it.
Yeah.
Because someone from work was telling her about it and she's like, they're good. And I'm like, oh, I have told you.
Yeah. They're horror, but there's more to them.
Mm.
It's not just killings. Like there's a story, especially, and all of them are different.
Yeah, and I think that's, for me, that's where, like, I like horror with a really good story, and that's why I appreciate, like, Mike Flanagan stuff. Yeah. It's because if you take it out of the horror genre, it still stands up as, like, a
100%
a good story.
100%.
And that's kind of...
Talk to Me. Great story.
Loved Talk great to story. Me.
So good.
I loved it as well because it's, like, suburban Australia, and you don't see that on TV and film much at all. And that was just such a simple idea that they executed so well and like just did not expect it from those boys.
I don't think they expected it to turn out like successful as it did.
They've got a sequel that they're working on for it and then they've got a couple of other things that are
in the pipeline
that they're also working on.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them because, it was a great film. I could watch that again and again. I think I've seen it twice now already.
I haven't, but I did want to rewatch it.
Yeah, I picked it up because I was like, support the boys. It's a good film.
Yeah, I've got a copy at home.
Yeah, great. Check it out if you haven't. I think it's on a couple of streaming services now. It's been out for a while. I watched the start of this year, but it was a last year film festival release, Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
It's an Australian production.
Is it?
Yeah. It was filmed here. And it went to a few film festivals and got bored, I think, eventually. And it's got... I can never pronounce his name, but he's in a bunch of films. He's in The Suicide Squad as the Polka Dot Man. You'll know who I mean.
I know the guy's face.
Yeah.
He's not Australian, is he?
No, but he got brought in. But everyone else basically is in it. It's like one of those late night talk shows from the 70s, and they use it as like a found footage kind of constructed movie based on something that happens in one particular airing of an episode. And it's about like... also like possession of like a young girl and it kind of unravels from there over the course of the episode and it gets pretty unhinged towards the end. But like the framing of it and the filming of it is really good. I reckon it's worth checking out. It's an indie release and it's an Australian release and pretty good.
Speaking of found footage, did you ever watch The Blair Witch Project?
Not yet. Not because I, not avoiding it, just haven't.
Yeah, I watched it a couple of years ago and I'd heard about it from high school because we're talking about different horror and yeah. how they did it and stuff. And it didn't scare me so much now, like having seen it, but it did just now remind me of a kid show I used to watch called Jeopardy on like the ABC, which had a similar, it was all found footage. So I can, thinking of that memory and how much that show used to like creep me out, I can imagine just how terrifying Blair Witch was when it came out because people didn't know that it was
real or not. Because it looks legit, like it's found footage.
Yeah, it's all like, you know,
handy cam work, and it gets dropped at certain times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been terrifying. And it's one of the most successful films ever made.
Yeah, because it cost them nothing.
It's just them running around in a bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three people, I think. Very successful. They tried to remake it, I think.
Yeah.
Not very well.
Because I know I remember you getting into Midsommar and telling me to watch Midsommar.
Midsommar for me.
It messed you up.
It messed me up. I think just more of a psychological aspect than anything else. Because it sat with me for so long. I just didn't feel good after finishing it. And that's Ari Aster to a T. Like Hereditary, the same.
No.
Like Hereditary is really good, but it sits with you right? It's one of those films where you go, and you're constantly thinking about it.
Yeah, because you told me to watch Midsommar, and I was every so often giving you an update, but mostly you're like, not texting.
Yeah, then give me a couple of updates.
At the end, you're like, oh, you were good. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just outside, like with the dog. She's like, going for a wee, and you're like, what?
How are you outside?
And I was like, oh, like, I'm fine. I'm totally good. But then Hereditary.
You're the opposite. I was like, I'm pretty good watching that.
It's not even like the elements in it, because there's elements in that film, like plot-wise, which if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it, but if you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Didn't really affect me too much. I mean, it did. Like, it wasn't like, oh, that's lovely to watch, but...
Let's go again.
But it was the soundscape, the ASMR stuff, which even in general I can't stand. And by the end of that film, I
was too much,
like,
overwhelming. But
I don't even
the point
know
of it. It's
what
to
happened
unsettle
at the end.
Because
I don't care. Because I was so angry at
you
the
just
fact that
to be
I was
finished?
Like, let this
end.
But yeah, that one, I was like, nah. I do not need a rewatch. Don't feel like watching it. I'm good.
Yep. Hereditary.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt about Midsommar, to be honest. I'm not going to probably watch that again anytime soon. Although I know it. You know, I know the scenes. Yeah. I remember it. I'll probably be fine,
Midsommar,
but I'd rather just not watch it again.
It was a fun one because it was during COVID and like everyone was home and I was watching it one night. And if you've seen the film, you know that it gets like pretty awkward towards
the
end.
I know which one, which part you're meaning.
And everyone kept like popping their head in to say goodnight. And I'm just like watching on my laptop, like trying to angle the screen away. Cause I'm like,
what
I don't want to explain what's on screen right now. And I just be like, oh yeah, good night. Yep, good night.
Quickly close
like,
his laptop.
It just goes forever. Like
it does,
never
yeah.
ends. And everyone
lingers.
Kept popping their head in to say goodnight. And I was just like, oh God,
oh, dear.
Couldn't be the worst time in this whole film.
Come back in 20 minutes. I'll be done.
Funny. Oh,
no, thank you.
No.
I think it's about all we have time for today. There's plenty more to talk about when it comes to Halloween, scary movies and stuff, and I'm sure we'll do another special soon.
Oh, absolutely.
There's always more. Obviously, we didn't even talk about things like long legs and things like that because you haven't seen it yet, I don't think.
Not yet.
Once you do, we'll like obviously delve into that a little bit more and some other things that come up as well.
Yeah.
So
if you've got a favorite scary movie or like Halloween stuff, write in because we keep saying it, but we do really want to hear from you. And I think
suggestions.
Yeah. Well, I looked at our stats and I don't know if you looked at them. I sent you.
I was on my phone.
Look at them. And it said we had like 50 something new downloads. And I was like,
hell yeah.
What? So clearly I'm assuming someone has found us and has downloaded
but
a bunch of our
episodes.
That's
great. That's
so
good.
If you're you and you're them, write in because we'd love to say hi.
Yeah.
We'd love to have a chat if you get to this episode on time, if not in about 12 months.
Up to season 2 when we're in 3.
please write in. But thank you for any new listeners that have popped up. It's crazy that we're still getting
there.
I don't know who you people are, but thank you for listening because it makes this a little less pointless and talking into a void.
Yeah. It's got purpose. Like I do it anyway, but it's got purpose.
Yeah. But yeah, so thank you to any new listeners. As always, you can get in touch. Give us a follow too, because a lot of you aren't giving us a follow. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at BingeList, or you can email us at bingelistandboxofficehits@gmail.com. Happy listening. Have a good month and enjoy your Halloween films.
Yeah, enjoy, guys.